Hi, this is Tom and Nick from Dry Cleaning, and you're listening to 95BFM. Something like that.
Well, you just did it. Yeah. Hi, this is Nick and Tom from Dry Cleaning. You're listening to 95BFM.
Happy birthday to you.
This is probably a trite question for you now, having made music for so long, but I'd really love to hear from you how dry cleaning came about. I read that both Florence and yourself were art lecturers, and I was wondering how immersion within that space kind of bled into this project.
We studied together for a long time as well. We studied together for like 2 years, and then we were friends for ever since. And so I met these guys through Florence. She introduced me to my partner, and I never got to do that, so that was how we kind of met. And we started, we didn't hang out all together at the time, though. It was like kind of me, Lewis, and Nick started jamming in Lewis's garage, mainly as like a social thing, really. And then maybe about 7 months in, we realised that we could really do with a singer. And yeah, Florence's name just popped up, and she'd never really been in a band before or anything, but she seemed pretty intrigued by it. She wasn't really like straight away like 100% yet, but she was kind of intrigued by it.
She'd had a massive breakup, right? And I think that under any other circumstances, I don't think we could have convinced her to do it. I think she was in a bit of a, like, you know, whatever kind of state of mind. So I think that was probably the catalyst that allowed the four of us to even get going.
Yeah, awesome. Well, maybe not awesome, but that's so cool that it came out of, I guess, that kind of headspace or mindset. I'm unsure how much you guys have to do with the lyric writing, but I thought I would ask anyway. But your lyrics are full of this kind of visceral storytelling, exemplified most clearly in this last project with Blood and Evil Evil Idiot. And it uses quite simple language to build up what ends up being quite complex figurative narratives. And I was wondering, like, where does your storytelling begin lyrically, and before you kind of put pen to paper, what does the process of drawing out those storylines look like?
Flo would obviously be able to elaborate a lot more on this. She writes all the lyrics. The way this last album came together, it was more a process that we would all kind of jam together in a room, and the three guys, we would, you know, mull over ideas and try things out. And I think Flo would write while we were doing that. And I think a lot of it is kind of, maybe she wouldn't describe it like this, but sometimes it's like a stream of consciousness type thing. I think she's tried on this record, like, writing almost to like the mood of the music that we're making. And sometimes, you know, with it or against it. And that seemed to be more of the process this time round. In the past, she's kind of been writing stuff at the same time that we are, but like doing it out loud. And it, you know, like, you say you make a recording of that on your phone, that then becomes the song. And I think this time maybe there was a little bit more kind of work behind the scenes that went in. But yeah, it's really tricky to answer questions about the lyrics, because it's obviously, it's like Flo has such a well thought out process, and she's really able to kind of elaborate on that, like, brilliantly. And it's a shame to not do that justice by me talking about it.
Where does the inspiration come from for you when it comes to writing music? Like, what emotional tone do you draw from when it comes to writing the music, maybe particularly on this last album?
When you're jamming, the music comes through, it just comes out. You don't really guide it too much, and then you just sort of respond to what just came out, if you know what I mean. So we sort of record everything we do, and you're just playing and playing and playing, and then you sort of listen back to it, and then things will resonate, and they're the things that you follow. You progress those things. If they don't resonate, you don't follow them. So it's kind of like quite freeform at the start. Sometimes something will come along in the past that's been more sort of, yeah, maybe you're feeling something particularly, it sort of kind of just bursts out into a piece of music. But that's quite rare, especially like on this record where we were jamming a lot more. We had like something like 100 and something jams on this one. So yeah, we just kind of play together and just see what happens. And something, some kind of fusion of the elements.
It's a really interesting thing, that thing Tom's talking about, where you listen back to all the demos you made, because we just record it on a phone. It might be something that you did like 6 months ago, sometimes even longer. And when you listen to it back, it's almost like someone else has done it, and you can really like it's really easy to sort of like reflect and understand what it is rather than thinking too much about whether you like it or not. And you do start to understand the subconscious process of where it came from and why it sounds the way it does and what you were thinking about, what you were reading or watching or like consuming at the time. So I think it's a lot easier to understand it after the fact.
Yeah, it's so interesting to hear about the kind of more improvisational nature of making music. I always think that the music ends up sounding really special, I think, even from a listener's perspective. And I was also curious about where the inspiration came for doing a lot of the lyrical delivery, mainly through spoken word, which is obviously a characteristic of all three of the albums. And I just wondered how that voice has developed over the years.
We were asking someone to do something like really far out of their comfort zone. It was more just a kind of practicality rather than anything else. I think Flo didn't have any background in music, or performing music or singing especially. So we were kind of asking her to do something, you know, a bit ridiculous. Like, so when we first started getting in the same room together, it was just on the cards that we were exchanging a bit of like music by other people. And some of the things we talked about were, you know, like, well, you don't even have to sing it, you know, you can just talk it, you know, like this Grace Jones song or this or that or whatever. And we exchanged a few things. And it's like, because Flo, yeah, she didn't have a background in performing music, but she did write a lot of stuff. She had a lot of like, not lyrical content, but just stuff she'd written that she sometimes used in her artwork or, you know, she just kind of had it. She collects a lot of stuff. So at first it was just kind of her reading that out, I mean, basically. And I think she's just kind of honed it over the years to find the way that she's kind of comfortable doing it. And obviously, like on this new record, there's a lot more singing than she's done in the past. And I think that was we talked about that a little bit. It was just a conscious effort to, again, put yourself out of your comfort zone and branch out a bit.
A series of memorials and signals telling us this or that, telling us this or this. Think of that. The objects outside the head control the mind to arrange them.
I think kind of a common theme in music is that maybe the sanctity of the album is slightly becoming eroded by streaming and playlists, etc. But Secret Love, I think, has a very intentional track listing. It kind of darkens as you listen through the album and it gets significantly more intense. When it came to ordering the album, was there any particular direction or journey that you wanted to take the listener on, or what was just the thought process behind that?
It was really just trying to make all the different tones fit together. You didn't sometimes currently go through different sequences where two songs together that are quite different sound good. Then you go through other sequences where those two songs are moved somewhere else and now all of a sudden they jar. So it's kind of really just trying to sort of get everything to be harmonious, or if not harmonious, then intentionally jarring. So it wasn't really an outright goal of the album, only just to be picked the songs that we thought were the right feel for a cohesive album, and then try to sequence that really. I think maybe some of the things that came to mind when we were sequencing it was thinking about pushing some of our stranger songs more further forward. Like we have on our last two albums, the weirdest songs are the last ones, almost like they're sort of tucked away at the end. I think we were just quite conscious of like trying to show that we have different sides to the band, and trying to make sure that everything had the right space. It wasn't sort of hiding behind another track really. And then the way it ended up being sequenced is just, that was just the one that seemed to fit that idea the best really. Like, so for instance, Hit My Head All Day being first, we didn't really think of that immediately, but then we realized that's a great way of showing that we are, you know, expanding musically.
Super excited for your live show. Could you tell the BFM listeners what is entailed in a dry cleaning live show?
I think we've actually been working on it really hard. In the past, when we've been touring, we've almost sometimes like let shows pass us by a little bit. And we've really tried to sculpt what we're doing currently. We've really tried to make it a show of it. Not theatrical, but just, it's got a real shape to it. if you know what I mean, like in the way you're talking about with the album track listing. I think we've really tried to do a similar thing with what we're doing live. And I think it really builds and it has really high moments and really low, like quiet moments. We're really proud of it. I think the way that we are kind of connecting with audiences on this tour is certainly more so than we have at any other point when we've been touring. So it feels really nice. It feels really good to be out on the road. I honestly just can't wait to be back in like Australia and New Zealand. It's going to be really exciting. It's really soon as well. So
I'm so glad to hear that you're excited to come here. We're so excited. I'm so excited to see you guys. It's going to be so brilliant. Really excited.
Yeah, we never get. It happens like once every 4 years or something. You know,
yeah,
like.
Yeah.
I'm a cruise ship designer. I'm striking while the iron is hot. I'm making the most of a bad situation. Cruises are big business. I don't personally like them, but I need to serve a useful purpose. I desire very much a place in society. So designing cruise ships is my pastime and my living and my challenge. Designing cruises is for me a privilege and a lesson. Need to do it all the time.
Need to do it all the time.
Cruise ship designer. Striking while the iron is hot.
Striking while the iron
Making
is hot.
Making the most of a bad situation. It's a powerful boat for a powerful mind. And I design hotels that cause controversy. But I'm semi-anonymous, climbing ladders. I'm not an ambitious man, I believe in design. In my work.